good evening again. We've been blessed this year. It's different this year. In case you haven't noticed it, it only happens about every 6 years. This year, we actually get to celebrate Christmas on Christ's birthday. It doesn't happen all the time. Because it doesn't happen all the time, I thought I'd do something different. I thought I'd do a two-part sermon and start my message tonight and then finish it up tomorrow morning when we're back here. Tomorrow we'll be back here at 9 a.m. And we'll finish the message. But what I want to spend some time discussing, what I want to look at, is discovering our plan. I want to spend a little time talking about finding our purpose. Now, there are some people in life that it seems like from a very early age, they know exactly what their plan is. They know exactly what their purpose is in life. They have a dream that they want to pursue. And it seems like if you go back and ask their mothers, that ever since an early age, they knew what it was. They would spend their Halloweens going ahead and dressing up, if it was a police officer or a fireman. Some people knew from a very early age exactly what it was that they wanted to do. They thought they had it all planned out. They thought from a very early age they knew their purpose in life. But sometimes even though we think we have it all figured out, things don't always turn out the way we plan. Tonight, we're going to take a look at three different stories. Three different stories about people who thought they had it all figured out. They thought they had their plan set. Those three people are Mary, Joseph, and a group of dirty old shepherds. Let's take a minute and talk about Mary first. Mary had a plan. Mary thought that she understood very early on in her life what her purpose would be. And she thought part of that plan, part of that purpose was she wasn't going to amount to anything very special. That her life had pretty much already been planned out for her. You see, she'd been pledged to be married to Joseph. She'd been pledged to marry Joseph. And when it came to her plan, if you were to ask Mary what her purpose is, she would have told you that my purpose, my plan is to raise a family. I'm going to go ahead and marry my husband. I'm going to have children for him. I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to go ahead and take care of the house. I'm going to raise the children. I'm going to cook the meals. I'm going to do the laundry. When you look at it, it's a pretty quiet life. Pretty quiet life, an insignificant life, an everyday life. When Mary thought about her life, there wasn't anything really different between her life and the women that had come before her. There wasn't a whole lot of difference between her life and the teenage girls that Mary grew up with. When it came to her plan, when it came to her purpose, nothing was very special. Now Joseph had a plan. You see, Joseph was a carpenter. He was a carpenter, and he probably learned this skill from his father, who had passed it down to him. And if you were to ask Joseph what his plan was, Joseph's plan was eventually to go ahead and pass that skill down to his children as well. Now, Joseph wasn't wealthy. Wasn't wealthy by any means. And he really wasn't of any significant value in society. He wasn't one of the prestige ones. He wasn't important. But he was skilled. He was skilled. And his plan for life was to use those skills for his family. He knew the hours were going to be long. He knew he'd probably have to work 6 days a week. But all he wanted to do really was provide for his family. He wanted to provide for his family. And he knew that he never would make a lot of money. But that's okay. You see, it's what he knew. And Joseph's plan was, it really doesn't matter what life throws at me. Because if I got Mary by my side, that's all that matters. As long as I got her there to support me and take care of me and support me, everything would be okay. Everything would be okay. And that was part of his plan. But then everything changed. Their life plan changed. Both of their purposes changed. In fact, their whole world changed. And we see the beginning of that change happen in Luke chapter 1. In verse 26, we see that in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, now Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, we see that God sent an angel. God sent an angel by the name of Gabriel to a virgin named Mary. Mary was engaged to a man named Joseph, and Joseph was a descendant of King David. Now, when the angel found Mary, he told her, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Because I got some really good news for you." He says, "You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Jesus." Mary was taken back by this. She asks the angel, she says, "But how can this happen?" She says, "I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." God had a plan. It's not what Mary had planned. It wasn't anywhere close to what Mary had planned. But God had a plan. Now, Mary's plan, we see, changed, and Joseph didn't know quite how to deal with this. He didn't know what he was going to do. Because this little hiccup could completely destroy Joseph's future. You see, it would destroy his future in the plans of his friends. "Dude, you married that chick? She got pregnant before she even married you. I heard it wasn't even your kid. Could be the guys down the streets. She stepped out on you. She cheated on you, and you married her?" When Joseph thought about this, he knew that it would mess up his family life. One thing's for sure, holiday dinners at Joseph's parents weren't going to be the same ever again. But we see in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 19, it tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. What that means is Joseph was a good guy. He was a good guy, and he didn't want to expose Mary to the public humiliation. He didn't want to disgrace her. He didn't want to make her look bad, because he really did care about Mary. He cared about her, and even though his plan had changed, he really didn't want to see her get hurt. So he came up with a new plan. And that new plan was to divorce her quietly, do it behind the scenes, kind of talk to the priests about it and get it done so nobody else would find out about it. But we see that even though that was Joseph's new plan, it wasn't God's plan. Because in verse 20 of Matthew, we see that after Joseph came up with this new plan, after he thought he'd worked out all the details himself to this new plan, after he figured a way out, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. He came to him in a dream and he said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home. Don't be afraid to take her home as your wife. Because what's conceived in her, what's conceived in her comes from the Holy Spirit. And what we can see just so far in this story is that sometimes in life, God's plans don't line up with our plans. Which brings us to the text that we're looking at tonight. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, at that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken. A census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Everyone had to return to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go back to Bethlehem. He had to go back to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth. And he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now, obviously, very pregnant. Now we see that Joseph is now faced with financial hardships. He's faced with the financial hardships of having to take a trip with his very pregnant fiance, Mary. And the reason was because the Roman emperor had come up with this brilliant idea that he wanted to conduct a census. The reason behind the census is he wanted to know how many people were in the region. And the reason that he wanted to know how many people were in the region was because he wanted to be able to tax every person in the region. What we see is back then, it still is about the same as today. It's Jerry Maguire. It's all about the money. And that's what Caesar was worried about. Now, this distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem was a distance of about 90 miles. So, Joseph puts Mary on the back of a donkey and proceeds to lead that donkey for 90 miles. I've had a pregnant wife. I feel for Joseph. I wouldn't want to put a pregnant wife on the back of a donkey and take her across the street, but here he doesn't have a choice. The only thing he can possibly do is put her on the back of that donkey, make her as comfortable as he possibly can, and proceed to travel 90 miles. But why? Why was it so important? Why was it so important that he did this? Well, we talked about the census. The census is what we see in the text, that he had to go back to where he came from. He had to go back to the town of his ancestry. He had to go back where King David had lived so he could fill out the appropriate forms. He could go ahead and fill out the forms so they could tax him. But what we don't see in the text is the prophecy. Now, for those of you that have been worshiping with us for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about prophecy. We've been looking at Isaiah. We've been talking about Micah. And tonight we see in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that prophecy is coming about. It says, Bethlehem, even though you're a small village in Judah, a ruler of Israel is going to come from you. Those whose origins are from the distant past. 700 years before this day, Isaiah had prophesied that this day was going to happen. 700 years before this day, Micah prophesied that this day was going to happen. 400 years before this day, Malachi prophesied that this day was going to happen. All the pieces are starting to come together. All the pieces are starting together, and the reason is because God has a plan. So while they're traveling 90 miles on less than ideal conditions, we meet the shepherds. We meet the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, where it tells us that night, the same night that Mary and Joseph were on their course, there were shepherds, and they were staying in a field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel, once again, reassures them and says, "Do not be afraid." He says, "I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth. Peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to the others, "Let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem." Now, if you were to ask the shepherds what their plan was in life, what their purpose was in life, what they saw happening in their lives, most of them would tell you nothing. You see, shepherds weren't really high on the social status. Nobody really liked shepherds. They were considered ceremonially unclean. And because of that fact, they were never allowed to go worship with the rest of the people. They were alienated. They were unclean. They smelled. They stunk. And because of that, they didn't get a whole lot of invites for dinner. Nobody really sat down with their wives and said, "You know, hey, what do you say we had those shepherds over tonight?" Best plan they had in their life was to go ahead and hang out in the country with their flocks. The only ones that they had for company was each other. Didn't have a plan. "You know, I'm going to hang out in this country and watch these sheep until I get so old that I can't do it anymore. Nothing's really going to important is going to happen in my life. It's going to be the same thing day after day." But what we see is that in the instant, in the middle of a cold, dark night in the country, that everything changed. Their plans changed. Their purpose changed. And the reason was because God had a plan. And we see that plan in verse 10, where right after the angel brings and assures them, "Do not be afraid," he says, "I have good news." We talked about this last week, that when you have good news, that you can't help but share it. That when you have good news, you want to tell everybody. And what the angel is telling these shepherds is, "I have good news for you as well. And it's going to bring great joy. It's going to bring great joy to all people." And that good news is, the one who you've been waiting for, the one who you've been waiting for 700 years, 400 years, the time has come. He's here. He's the one. And because he has come, because the Savior has been born today in the city of Bethlehem, he is going to bring great joy to all people. And what I want you to understand is those words, "to all people." So quickly we go past that scripture. So quickly we go past that verse without understanding exactly what it is that that angel said. He says, "Today in the city of David is born a Savior who will bring great joy to all people, to white people, to black people, to Hispanic people, to Oriental people, to broken people, to fat people, to skinny people, to athletically fit people, to deaf people, to lame people, to blind people. He is going to bring great joy to all people." That's what we remember. That's what we remember this time of year. It wasn't that he came to save one person. He came to save all people. All these people. Mary, Joseph, these ragged old shepherds. All these people thought they had a plan. All these people thought they had their lives figured out. They'd found their purpose. But sometimes in life, God's plans for us aren't the same as our plans for us. And maybe our time hasn't come. Maybe our time hasn't come, and maybe we're still waiting, asking those questions. What's my plan? What's my purpose? But you know what might be even more important question to ask? Is that when our time comes, what are you going to do? Now we're going to leave off there for tonight and pick up tomorrow with it. But at this time, I'm going to invite everyone to come forward. We're going to take communion, be able to celebrate what Christ has done for us. After you take communion, I care about y'all. I came up with a new way for you to hold your candle this year because I didn't want anybody to get burned. I'm going to hand you a candle, but you're going to light off that. I'm going to put it in this fancy candle holder. Ooh, I know, right? I told you it was a special Christmas. So if my DJ in the back will go ahead, and if you guys want to start coming forward and take communion, we'll go ahead and celebrate today. Christmas, it seems like, is always a special time. Time where we, I don't know, it seems like the whole world seems to stop. We go ahead and be able to gather as a family of believers, a family who it really doesn't matter what happened throughout this year. Doesn't matter if we've had problems amongst our family. Doesn't matter if we've had problems in the world. It doesn't matter if we've had problems with our jobs, our spouses. Christmas is a time of year where it all begins again. Some people say New Year's is it. Nah, it's Christmas. Christmas is where we see that hope of a little baby laying in a manger. And this time, I'm going to ask our singers to come forward. And what I want you to do is, I encourage you to have a new start tonight. I don't know what you've gone through this year, but God knows what you've been through this year. And God loves you so much that you sent his son to die for you because he loved you that much. Why don't you go ahead and stand with me today as we close in song. Night, holy night. Facebook today that if you click on the link, Nordic Tracker will tell you exactly where Santa and his reindeers are at this given moment and let you know how close he is to getting to us. But I want to remind you that on this night, over 2,000 years ago, Mary and Joseph were still on their journey. They hadn't made it yet. They were coming into town right about now. Joseph was trying really hard to find a place for his very pregnant wife because those first contractions were starting to begin. And it didn't look like at this time he was going to find anything. So go ahead and close tonight with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the most incredible, wonderful Christmas gift that anyone has ever given. We thank you for that gift, that baby wrapped in snuggly cloths, that one very quickly will be laid in a manger. The only gift that has ever been given with the purpose of returning to heaven with the promise that we will meet again. I thank you for this day, this opportunity to gather in our house, your house, to be warm and comfortable, to be able to gather with our brothers and sisters, be able to sing carols, be able to explore the story of how you sent your answer into the world. Father, I ask you be with us and guide us and help us until we can meet back here again tomorrow. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you all want to kind of come forward and blow out your candles, we'll go ahead and collect them up here. Never been called to a church for a fire in over 15 years and don't want to start tonight.